Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis, and I am truly grateful and ecstatic to have you join me again for another episode of The Savage Truth. If you are new to the channel, welcome. I welcome you. Thank you so much for making the decision to give me a chance to join into the conversation and hear my take on today's haps. And you know what? I'm really interested in yours. For those of you who are ride or dies, for those of you who are repeat listeners and viewers, thank you so much. I absolutely enjoy and appreciate your support. Please continue to do so. Whether you're new or returning, please tell someone else about the show. And then do this to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube as we get into what's going on with this amazing country of ours. And it's going down south in Florida. So Florida police have been given immigration enforcement powers. This is a really, really good thing. We need to talk about it. Let's talk about something that President Trump has done and Ron DeSantis, Governor Ron DeSantis, has been supporting because it's going on in Florida, and that deserves your attention. Watch the video.
I don't think anybody knew how bad the immigration problem was.
With more than a million illegal immigrants targeted for deportation in the U.S., the feds are getting some much-needed help from local law enforcement. Florida is leading the charge with ICE's 287G program, prohibited by President Obama in 2012, but revived under President Trump. It allows local cops to be trained and given certain powers of an ICE agent, such as verifying pending removal orders and asking for documentation during their day-to-day work. This partnership eliminates the need to involve federal agents on immigration arrest warrants.
It'll streamline it just like that. We'll be able to get the information back, whether we have a reason to hold them or we don't have a reason to hold them.
The St. Johns County Sheriff's Office patrols a busy stretch of Highway 95 just south of Jacksonville.
This started as a routine traffic stop for speeding, but officers found at least two passengers with removal orders for deportation.
Deputies stopped another driver for expired tags, but the driver and his passengers didn't want to get out of the car. Officers had to break the window to get them out.
Get out now.
Agents say the passengers who were working for a landscaping company will now face an immigration judge.
You don't run from us in St. Johns County Sheriff's Office. You don't roll your window up and you're here illegally on a traffic stop because you don't have a Florida driver's license and think we're just going to walk away from your car and let you get away with it.
And this agreement also allows local jails to process migrants with criminal charges. The sheriff's office says this will speed up deportations. Right now, John, there are 25 states that have opted into this partnership.
Yes. So Florida is empowering, by way of Donald Trump, of course, and his fantastic decision making, is empowering its state and local police to enforce immigration laws. And listen, this is a bold, necessary move. And anytime you talk bold, it's instantly synonymous with Donald Trump, of course. But yes, this is a bold and necessary move, which the Biden administration would have never implemented. And in fact, Obama actually outlawed this altogether. Biden, of course, completely dropped the ball on the border security, didn't enforce it at all. So when the federal government won't do its job, states must step up. In fact, that's what our founding fathers were had in mind when they built this country. What they had in mind for our country was for it to be all handled by the states. But President Trump isn't playing politics. He's protecting Floridians from the very real threats of illegal immigration, including human trafficking, drug smuggling, and strain on local resources. We've got a leadership now. We've got a leadership vacuum in D.C., and Florida is leading the charge to absolutely fill it. Now, I know some of you who tend to lean independent, if you're watching this, might be asking, is this going too far? And hey, I get it. I get the question. It's a fair question. But let's look at the reality on the ground, okay? Law enforcement officers are already trained to protect and serve their communities, right? They're already given that. Giving them the tools to handle immigration violations, especially when they intersect with criminal activity. It's just common sense, if you ask me. It's simple common sense. This isn't about targeting hardworking immigrants. It's about making sure our communities are safe, our laws are respected, and yes, our borders are actually enforced. So think about this in a practical, logistical way. Police officers pull someone over, they check their IDs, they instantly run the background check, and they run the legitimacy of that ID to find out who they actually are pulling over. They can't find the information, or it doesn't, you know, the information doesn't pull up or it doesn't coincide with the ID. And so the police officers are right there able to deal with this issue immediately. We're not talking about racial profiling here. We're talking about empowering officers to uphold the law where the federal government has failed. And that's a gap that needs to be filled. So let's be clear. This isn't anti-immigration, right? It's pro-legal immigration. Conservatives believe in law and order. The American people believe in law and order. Floridians and all other 49 states believe in law and order. And when we believe in, we also believe in welcoming people who come here the right way, the legal way, right? Florida's move sends a powerful message that we won't sit by while Washington ignores this crisis. And if you care about safe communities, strong borders, and a system that works for the American people first, this is a step in the right direction, to which I hope 49 other states follow in its footsteps. So let's keep paying attention and support leaders who are willing to act when others won't, like our President Donald Trump. So let's look at another one. We've got another headline here. Let's look at another Doge discovery in this next story. So Democrat-led states accounting for vast majority of unemployment fraud since the year 2020. All right. So this one is wild, but sadly not surprising. And according to a new audit by the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, a whopping 80% of fraudulent unemployment benefits since 2020 came out of just three states: California, New York, and Massachusetts. Blech. That's right, folks. You heard that. Three deeply blue Democrat-run states handed out hundreds of millions of dollars in improper claims. This is what happens when big government bureaucracy collides with zero accountability. This is what you get. These are the same states that pride themselves on progressive leadership, yet they can't seem to keep taxpayer money out of the hands of literal fraudsters. In fact, they're giving it to them. Now, brace yourself, because the numbers are mind-blowing. DOGE found over $382 million in fraudulent payments, with California alone responsible for a staggering 68% of unemployment benefits paid to parolees flagged by Border Patrol, some of whom were on the terrorist watch list. Yes, it almost made me want to vomit. I mean, let that sink in, okay? We have criminals and potential threats to national security collecting unemployment checks while honest, hardworking Americans are out here struggling to keep up with inflation and high taxes and food and everything else. If this isn't a failure of leadership, I don't know what is, okay? This is the true legacy of the Biden-Harris administration. And it gets crazier. Apparently, 24,500 people over 115 years old claimed benefits. Another 28,000 were toddlers. Oh, and nearly 10,000 people weren't even born yet. 10,000 unborn people collected unemployment. Now, unless you believe in someone born in 2154 managed to hack the system and claim $41,000, okay? This isn't just an administrative oversight, folks. This is systemic failure, and it has enabled and been enabled by a Democratic playbook that puts red tape over results and political posturing over protecting your tax dollars, my tax dollars. It's literally causing my dog to hack. Oh, and nearly 10,000 people weren't even born yet, the unborn. Now, unless you believe someone born in 2154 managed to hack the system and claim $41,000, this isn't just administrative oversight. This is systemic failure, and it's enabled and has been enabled by a Democratic playbook that puts red tape over results and political posturing over protecting your tax dollars, my tax dollars. This is why Republicans keep pushing for accountability, right? That's why the Trump administration has been so heavily focused on this, pushing for accountability, pushing for efficiency, and pushing for reform. We don't believe in bloated, unchecked government spending. We believe in common sense. Imagine what $382 million could have done for real families, for veterans, or small businesses. Instead, it vanished into the black hole of Democrat-run bureaucracy. So if you're tired of waste, if you're tired of fraud and failure, it's time to stop handing the reins to the same people responsible for this mess. And please keep that in mind during midterm elections. Let's get back to leadership that respects your hard-earned money and puts American citizens first. And we've got it right now with Donald Trump. So I'm glad that we're going to get back to leadership that respects your hard-earned money and puts American citizens first. Now, on to the next story, because this one is a good one. Trump's DOJ focuses on Maine over men and women's sports. See if you remember this.
The NCAA has complied immediately, by the way. That's good. But I understand Maine. Is Maine here, the governor of Maine?
Here.
Are you not going to comply with it? Well, we are the federal law. Well, you better do it. You better do it because you're not going to get any federal funding at all if you don't. And by the way, your population, even though it's somewhat liberal, although I did very well there, your population doesn't want men playing in women's sports. So you better comply because otherwise you're not getting any federal funding.
See you in court.
Every state. Good. I'll see you in court. I look forward to that. That should be a real easy one. And enjoy your life after governor, because I don't think you'll be in elected politics.
All right, let's get in on a fight, because the fight for fairness in women's sports just took a major turn. So the Department of Education under the Trump administration has officially referred Maine's alleged Title IX violations to the Department of Justice. And let me tell you, savages, this is a win for common sense. After weeks of investigation, Maine's leadership has flat out refused to comply with Title IX protections meant to ensure equal opportunity for biological women in sports. Matter of fact, let me take that word biological out, okay?
Yeah.
Ensure equal opportunity for women in sports. Instead, Governor Janet Mills is choosing radical ideology over fairness, over privacy, and over safety. And now she's going to have to defend that in federal court, just like he promised in the video. This all comes after that heated exchange between President Trump and Governor Mills at the White House that you just saw. Not even 2 months ago, where the president made it very, very clear, allowing biological males to compete in women's sports is not only unfair, it's a direct violation of the spirit of Title IX. This isn't about hate. It's not about that. This isn't about discrimination. It's about protecting hard-fought rights for female athletes. Girls and young women across this country have trained for years to compete, and they deserve a level playing field. Simple as that. The idea that the left can erase those opportunities in the name of progress is as backwards as it is unconstitutional. Now, let's be real here, savages. What we're seeing is the difference between Republican leadership that defends objective truth and biological reality, and Democrat leadership that bends to every demand of the activist left, no matter the consequences, right? No matter illogical it is. The Biden-Mills style governance says we'd rather push ideology than protect our students, than protect our girls, protect our young women. But the Trump administration is saying enough is enough. By moving to cut federal taxpayer funds from Maine's Department of Education and taking this battle to the courts, the administration is sending a message to every single state. There will be consequences when you trample students' rights under the guise of inclusivity. That's a major, major message that needs to be driven, and it needs to be heard, and it needs to be taken seriously. So here's what this moment really, truly means. President Trump, Republicans, and 80% of Americans, mind you, because this is an 80-20 issue, are the ones standing up for women, for fairness, and for the rule of law. Independent listeners, if you're tired of watching our institution abandon reason, you're not alone. Just want you to know that. We are all in a cultural tug of war, and this is what taking a stand absolutely looks like. The Trump administration is doing exactly what it promised, fighting for the rights of all Americans, especially those who have been ignored in this debate for way too long. Stay tuned, because this battle isn't over by any means, but the tide is finally turning. Finally. And, you know, let's talk a little pop culture, shall we? Because there's a trend going on and people are being very triggered. It's all over TikTok and other social media sites. And I just want to actually make you aware of it. If you're not, maybe you can go look it up. It's actually kind of silly, but there's this new trend in the club scene with milkmaid dresses. Okay. Now we need to talk about it, because this is the latest hot girl trend lighting up the club scene, apparently. And no, it's not what you think. We're seeing a real shift out there right now. Milkmaid dresses. Rick, have you seen these? Do you know what we're referring to? Okay. Well, since you haven't, maybe that means that maybe other people aren't aware. So we're going to start showing them pictures while we're talking about it. But this is maybe puff sleeves. It's modest necklines. They are full skirts, replacing the barely there looks that have dominated nightlife for the last decade or two or three. At least the last two. Okay. And now I have to admittedly let the listeners and viewers know that I tend to fall into that scantily clad when I hit the club, only because that's what the fad was. So when I would step out, if I'm going clubbing, you know, I showed a little skin, right? That's what the trend was. But now the women are very modest, and I actually am all for this. And guess what? Some in the media are blaming conservatism. Big bad conservatives for the resurgence of modesty. Seriously, as if young women choosing to dress with a bit more grace and nostalgia is some kind of political conspiracy. Okay, this is just simply what the trend is, right? In the 90s, when you went clubbing, you had on, you know, maybe the social hat, right? And the big shoulders in the sport coat and the high-waisted pants and then the 2000s, you had the bling bling and you were very scantily clad. I mean, and so this is the new trend. Spoiler alert, it's not a political conspiracy. It's not. It's just fashion doing what it always does. It's simply evolving. Look, every generation has its own spin on what's cool to wear when the sun goes down. The 90s had crop tops and leather. The 2000s brought rhinestones and bodycon everything, right? The bling bling era and skin. And now Gen Z is romanticizing femininity in a way that feels fresh and elegant and even, dare I say, empowering. And it's actually nice to see, right? These kids are a lot more modest. Milkmaid dresses are cottagecore meets city nightlife. And frankly, it's kind of a nice to see young women leaning into style that doesn't rely on shock value, right? You don't have a bunch of snookies out there running around. If that's conservative, then maybe the culture is just remembering that modesty and confidence can coexist. And that's not political. That's just smart dressing. It's just fashion. It's just where it is. Now, from a conservative lens, we don't need to make everything about politics, but we can appreciate when culture naturally swings back towards tradition and self-respect. There's something refreshing about a trend that doesn't scream for attention, but still turns heads. So let's stop blaming values when they resurface in fashion and start recognizing that young people, especially women, are smart and capable and completely in charge of their own image, right? Blaming Republican conservatives for this is silly. If the milkmaid dress is the new club uniform, then maybe style is having a comeback with some class. Now let's watch some American heroes returning home with Savage Soldiers. Ah, those adorable kids. Now, please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, to be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.